it may seem a little bit like there's just a lot of bad news. You know, we're looking at the diagram of the wheel of life and we're thinking, oh, there's a lord of death, I'm going to die. Oh, there's the danger of lower rebirth. Oh, I'm trapped in this unending cycle of rebirth, pervaded by suffering, chained in by the 12 dependent related links. So this is really important, and don't worry, there is good news coming. But it is really important that we understand our predicament. And yeah, of course, it may seem initially a little pessimistic, but Buddha is only pointing these things out because we can change this. And if we don't change this, our suffering won't ever end. You know, of course, when Buddha attained enlightenment, you know, going back a few thousand years, then it was a very spiritually interested time. You know, people heard that Buddha was, that this prince who had abandoned his palace to seek enlightenment had attained this exalted realization and would share the secret of everlasting bliss and happiness with everyone. And people assembled to hear his instructions and his first words, you should know suffering. You should know suffering. And you can almost imagine sort of rippling through the audience, people go, oh no, I know all about suffering. I have so much suffering. I don't need to hear about suffering anymore. I know so much about suffering. Tell me about happiness. But Buddha's point is, you should know suffering. It's like, we don't know suffering. In many of the sutras, people go to Buddha and they say, you know, I have this problem, I have that problem. And almost, I think you could sort of summarize a lot of Buddha's answer, the first part at least of Buddha's answer, as it's so much worse than you think it is. It's so much worse than you think it is. Because we're always thinking, if I just had that, then it would be okay. Like, I just need a bit more sleep, or I just need a break, or, you know, I just need a job where people acknowledge my efforts and abilities, or I just need a partner that appreciates me, or I just need, and we can look at other people's lives and think, if that was my life, if I had that life, then it would be okay. Like, we can be in this wheel of life with a very fortunate life. We can be like a demigod looking at the gods thinking it's not fair. You know, I want what they've got. But even if we get what the gods have got, even if we get to the very pinnacle of samsara, and we have this incredibly long life of luxury. Even in the God realm, you know, if you read the section in Joyful Path, there are many misfortunes. There are more powerful gods that come and steal your partners or take your palaces and so forth. But even if none of that happens, eventually the god's lifespan runs out because the merit, the karma for that existence, eventually runs dry. And then suddenly, these godlike, divine, celestial bodies start to become very ordinary. They start to smell and perspire. The clothes sort of hang and their ornaments jangle discordantly, and they start to see visions of the lower realms in which they're going to be reborn. It's a horrifying death. The deaths of gods tend to be far, far worse than the deaths of humans. So we do need to realize that the thing we think is the solution isn't the solution. And in fact, the things we think are the problems are not the problem. There is only one problem. And the diagram of the wheel of life, and particularly the meditation on the 12 dependent related links, shows us with great precision what exactly that problem is. We have one problem, only one problem. There's only one thing that we need to remedy. There's only one problem we need to solve. And the diagram of the wheel of life, and particularly the meditation on the 12 dependent related links, pinpoints exactly what that problem is whilst showing us the solution. For as long as we think that we know how to solve the problem, I just need this, I just need that, that's where our energy goes. If we think there is an arrangement of of the external furniture of our life, if we could just arrange our circumstances in a certain way, we will make our life as we're living it, me as I am, will then be truly and ongoingly happy because I've arranged these circumstances. For as long as we think that, we're not heading towards our liberation. We're not making progress towards the happiness that we're capable of enjoying. You know, so much of our life is spent in a zero-sum equation where we think we know the solution to our problem, and so we chase that. And of course, you know, when we get flattery and praise, and when we get promotions, and when we are acknowledged by others, and people demonstrate their attraction to us and so forth, we get excited by that, and we think, this is wonderful. You know, when we've been alone or we feel neglected and someone shows us that kind of affection, we feel, this is wonderful. I love this. I'm so happy. You know, singing in the rain, we dance our way home after a date with someone that we think we've had chemistry with and it's worked out, and maybe there's a prospect of a future here. So wonderful. But it's a zero-sum equation. You know, the clearest example, like Venerable Geshe talks about, when we have a headache, if we have a terrible headache, throbbing pain, and we're able to take some effective painkiller, and that pain goes away, it is blissful not to have that pain. It is so wonderful to be free of that pain. But only for as long as we remember the pain. Like, not having a headache isn't blissful at all. It's just not having a headache. It's a flat line. It's nothing. The bliss of not having a headache is in direct proportion to the pain of the headache. And as we slowly forget the pain of the headache, the bliss of not having a headache goes to zero because it's a zero sum. And so we feel alone and neglected and unattractive and all these things, and someone sees us as attractive and is interested, and so exciting, until the pain of that neglect disappears, and then we become dissatisfied with them because we're not getting happier and happier. There's no happiness coming from the outside. It's a zero sum. And the happiness that we do seem to get, that sort of happiness, again, it's counterbalanced by the pain of it ending. So maybe we do have a relationship that feels wonderful and rewarding, and maybe we spend decades together in a sort of happy ever after fantasy dream, and it really feels like that. And for some people, that karma ripens and wonderful. And then we lose them. We watch them die, or they watch us die, or inevitably we're separated. And the pain of that heartbreak is as intense and as concentrated as the joy that we gleaned from the relationship. All the time, these kind of enjoyments, it's just a zero sum. There's no real happiness there. And we need to realize that. We need to realize we can't make samsara work